Good morning. Seeing if I can call the people in that are outside standing around. Welcome to Zion. Those that are here in the building as well as those who are online. This morning, in keeping with the theme of kicking things off, I'd like to begin with what I hope will become a new tradition at Zion. How many of you have heard of a land acknowledgement? A few of you, yes. Okay. So a number of years ago, maybe 8, 10 years ago, a few people visited Zion and did a presentation called Dismantling the Doctrine of Discovery. And I won't go into the details, and you can find out a lot more on their website called Dismantling the Doctrine of Discovery. But suffice to say that history, everything that happened a long time ago, still affects us today. So a land acknowledgement is a formal statement that recognizes the unique and enduring relationship that exists between indigenous peoples and their traditional territories. You may have heard of a land acknowledgement at the beginning of a meeting or at a conference, or seen one on a plaque when you go into a building, or on social media, or sometimes they're in art as a mural on the side of a wall. There are lots of different ways to do a land acknowledgement. And land acknowledgements by themselves are pretty small gestures, but they can be a way to offer recognition and respect or an opening to relate differently to the land. They can also be an educational tool to help people learn more about the history of where we currently live and here worship. Land acknowledgements have more meaning when there is thought and effort put into a relationship, an action following a land acknowledgement. This morning, if everybody could turn in their purple hymnal to number 878. This is one version of a land acknowledgement. So again, that's number 878. And please join me in reading so it's two sentences, and then there's a bit in italics that says, read the name of the tribes or bands that live in your area. And then there's the next part. So if everybody could join me in reading the first two sentences, and then I'll follow with the name of the tribes, and then I'll continue reading the last part, because it's a lot to read together. So, we acknowledge that we are gathering on the traditional territory of indigenous peoples. We affirm that settlers have specific responsibilities in the journey of reconciliation with indigenous peoples. A Hatunyak band of the Kalapuya tribe, as well as members of the Malala and Chinook tribes. We give thanks to Creator and to those peoples who have stewarded this land for generations. We are grateful for the opportunity to live, work, and worship here as we witness the reconciling movement of the Spirit and seek to live in right relationships with our indigenous neighbors and all of creation. Now, if anybody has announcements, please come forward. Everybody else, please stand and pass the peace to those around you. You can like wave or actually pass the peace. Thank you.
Okay. Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you to whoever put the tie-dyed sundress in my mailbox. That was a wonderful surprise this morning, and I will wear it. Thank you to everybody that agreed to serve on committees for the next year to keep Zion running smoothly. We will be working on the handbook, putting it together this Thursday. If you didn't get the focus news via email, please let Jody know if your email has changed or it got lost someplace. I haven't gotten mine yet. So we will meet this Thursday, September 16th, and the doors will open at 9. We will assemble the new handbook, tie comforters, work on school kit bags, and then our devotion and sharing time will be at 10:30. We will not have a potluck this month. We need to stay socially distant, so please bring a sandwich or a sack lunch, which we will all socially distance and eat together at noon. We have a new devotional guide, which is kind of confusing. It's called a Decalogue, and it's 10 women from 10 different decades sharing their thoughts about the 10 commandments. So there's from a 7-year-old to a 90-year-old. So that's going to be a new experience, figuring out how to make that clear and easy to understand. Please wear a mask. We will do our best to social distance during the day. And thank you again for everybody that agreed to serve next year.
Okay, MCC sale. As most of you probably know, that we are not going to have a typical live auction and activities in Albany like we normally do. But we're still going to have an online auction. And that is going to be, I'll make sure this is in the bulletin next week, but that's going to be starting on Saturday morning of October 2nd, 1 week before the official day. And so, and that will continue for 6 days, and it'll end on Thursday night of October 7th. And then anybody who orders things or buys things on the auction will have, you can choose to have things picked up in Albany. If you're going to go down there, you can choose to have things picked up here at Zion, or people can have things, you can pick up things at Portland Mennonite. So you have your choice on that. So you'll be able to preview the online auctions approximately 1 week before the auction, online auction goes live. So that would be the last, probably around the last Saturday of September. Now for food, there's a lot of good food options for you, and that link is live. Jody had sent out an updated announcement on Friday that has that live link if you want to order. And there's lots of things you can order. And again, you can choose to pick it up at Albany or you can pick it up here. The one thing is the chicken dinners are not going to be provided up here this year. So if you want a chicken dinner, you're going to have to go to Albany to get it. So that food order ends on Friday. So you need to do your food orders by then. If you have questions, just come and talk to me about that and I can help you with that if you need it. The final thing is my coins count. We are collecting coins in the back, and we'll have that bucket out by the chicken pickup area. So if you want to put, and we'll be collecting those coins up until we have the auction on October 9th. There are a number of people around the valley who are matching gifts for donations to the for my coins count. So I think that total is up to about $2,500, the matching. So if you would, for example, if we had $75 of coins or bills in that bucket, it'd be matched to 150. So anyway, that's lots of things happening, and hopefully I covered everything.
And one announcement about Sunday school. Leon is actually going to be facilitating the Zoom adult Sunday school, which is going to be peaceful practices. I'm just going to be there for technology. The call to worship for this morning is based on Psalms 105, verses 1 to 4. Give thanks to the Lord, call on his name. Make his deeds known to all the people. For he is the Lord our God, faithful to 1,000 generations. Sing his praises. Tell of his wonderful works and glory in his holy name. Let those who seek the Lord rejoice, for he is the Lord our God, faithful to 1,000 generations. Search for God and for his strength. Never stop looking for him, for he is the Lord our God, faithful to 1,000 generations. Lois? Turn to page 78 in the old hymnal, the blue one, page 78. This melody is from Indigenous people, and there's three sections of the song. Each section has a little bar line with two dots, which means you repeat it. And each phrase ends on "Hey, yay." What I'd like you to do is I'll sing the first time through by myself, and you can all please hum with me if you'd like, and then we'll sing it through as a congregation. At the end, after the "Hey, yay," we're going to extend that rest a little bit. And during that silent time, I want you to listen. Listen to the land. Hey, yay. Father God, you are holy. You're the first one. Hey, yay. Let your love come on down and touch your children here on earth. Be with us. Hey, yay. Let your love come on down and touch your children here on earth. Be with us. Hey, yay. Jesus, we call you, watch over us, hey, yay. Jesus, we call you, watch over us, hey, yay. Turn to page 327, 327 in the same book. The theme of our service is God's faithfulness through the generations. And as a prelude to this song, I would like to read an excerpt from my father's diary, 1938, September 10. I do enjoy these peaceful autumn days, so quiet, so rich in color, and so refreshing. Gravenstein apples, Italian prunes, large juicy pears, purple grapes, yellow pumpkins are only a few of nature's delights. It's wonderful indeed. And the harvest moon, last night it was full, big yellow, and round. It so fascinates me that I could only stand and gaze in wonderment. After all, this world isn't such a bad place to live for a short while. Let's stand and sing together. Page 30.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou teachest all thy compassions, thee fear not. As thou hast lived, thou forehead.
now turn into the purple book, The Voices Together, page 420.
God of the Bible, God in the gospel, hope seen in Jesus, hope yet to come. You are our center, daylight or darkness, freedom or prison, you are our home. Fresh is the morning, sure as the sunrise, God always faithful, you do not change. Fresh is the morning, sure as the sunrise, God always faithful, you do not change. God in our struggles, God in our suffering with us, taking our home. Still you empower us, mothering spirit, feeding, sustaining from your own heart. Fresh is the morning, sure as the sunrise, God always faithful, you do not change.
For the offering prayer, please turn in the purple hymnal, the one you were just in, to number 1022. And we won't be passing the baskets today. There's a box in the back if you would like to give an offering. And if you're giving one for Drift Creek, make sure you make it out to Zion and write MCC, not MCC, DCC in the memo line. Okay, I will read the leader part and please read the people part. And actually, I'm also going to read the people part because online you can't hear everybody talking when you guys are talking, so that it's really awkward when you're online listening. So I'm also going to read that part as an all. But Holy One, as you are faithful to us, may we be faithful to you. Faithful with our time and energy, faithful with our possessions and wealth, receive these gifts by your grace. Multiply and use them through the power of the Holy Spirit to make real your reign of love, justice, and peace in our world. Amen.
Good morning. It's good to be back. I realized this morning that it has been since 2018 since I was here with you, and a lot has happened since then. Our kids have struggled with adoption grief. We had the road closure for the culvert. I had my own cancer diagnosis and almost a year of treatment. And last week, I lost my dad. And collectively, we're all facing the lingering uncertainty of COVID. I have to admit that through these challenges, it has been hard at times to hang on to hope. And speaking of those COVID uncertainties, planning for summer camp was kind of like nailing Jell-O to a tree. But in spite of the last minute changes, the starts and stops, summer camp came together beautifully. More than ever, campers seemed so grateful to be there. Counselors rolled with every last-minute modification. TVs gave their all. Pastors connected with campers in meaningful ways. Cooks endured unprecedented heat and served with smiles in spite of it. Everyone came together with such grace and flexibility. And through it all, in the love of our faith community, hope was restored.
There will be a video, I believe.
Everything is all right, everything is so bright. Yeah, the sun is shining beautiful. And Everyone is singing, everyone is dreaming. Yeah, the world is so colorful. And you look back at me, you know it makes me say, I'm finding you in everything that shines. I'm finding you in between the lines. I'm finding you. You open up my eyes every time, 'cause your love is so alive. Stop time, hanging on the daylight. Doesn't ever have to go away. I could sing a new song, maybe get the words wrong, but you know just what I want to say. 'Cause when you look at me, you know I still believe. I'm finding you in everything that shines. Finding you in between the lines. I'm finding you. You open up my eyes every time, 'cause your love is so alive. When broken things are given, everything is all right, everything is so bright. Yeah, your love is shining beautiful. And everyone is singing, everyone is dreaming. And I'm feeling so alive. I'm finding you in everything that shines. I'm finding you in between the lines. I'm finding you. You open up my eyes every time, 'cause your love is so
alive. Try to catch my breath. It hasn't happened yet. I'm wide awake in the middle of the night, scared to death. So I pray, God, would you make this stop? Father, please hold on to me. You're all I've got. Carry me, carry me, carry me now from my sinking sand to your solid ground. The only way I'm ever gonna make it out is if you carry me, carry me, carry me now. God, carry me, carry me, carry me now. Jesus, calm my heart. Come near me, please. Lord, don't let worries get the best of me. Oh, I believe that you're still here with me. 'Cause you meant what you said when you said you'd never leave. So carry me, carry me, carry me now from my sinking sand to your solid ground. The only way I'm ever gonna make it out is if you carry me, carry me, carry me now. God, carry me, carry me, carry me now. Carry me, God, carry me. Carry me, God, carry me. I'm at the end of myself. I know I've got nothing left. feels like I'm stuck in the valley of the shadow of death. And I've been down here so long, I just can't find my way out. Oh God, I don't stand a chance unless you carry me now. God, carry me now. Sinking sand to your solid ground. The only way I'm ever gonna make it out is if you carry me, carry me, carry me now. God, carry me, carry me, carry me now. Carry me now. Oh, carry me now. Some days life feels perfect, other days it just ain't working. The good, the bad, the right, the wrong, and everything in between. Yo, it's crazy, amazing, we can turn our heart through the words we say. Mountains crumble with every syllable, broken, live or die. So speak life. You speak hope, you speak love, you speak. You speak life. Oh, 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 oh. You speak life. Oh, 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 oh. Some days the tongue gets twisted, other days my thoughts just fall apart. I do, I don't, I will, I won't. It's like I'm drowning in the deep. Well, it's crazy to imagine words from my lips as the arms of compassion. Mountains crumble with every syllable. Hope can live or die. So speak life to the deadest, darkest night. Speak life when the sun won't shine and you don't know why. Look into the eyes of the broken hearted. Watch them come alive as soon as you speak hope, you speak love, you speak. Your head a little higher, spread the love like fire. Hope will fall like rain, and you speak life with the words you say. Raise your thoughts a little higher, use your words to inspire. Joy will fall like rain when you speak life with the things you say. Lift your head a little higher. Feels perfect.
And now the children's story. So children can come up and Frank will be reading a story or something.
Boom.
I got a guest reader here this morning. We'll get you set up. You want to be right there? You got to get right up in the face. And you can put your mask on. There you go. And actually, I've got the pictures right here, which probably isn't strictly legal, but that's okay. We're at church.
Jesus is my special friend. I have a friend. His name is Jimmy. Jimmy and I like to walk, to talk together. We wonder where the clouds come from. We plan rocket trips to the moon. We laugh about the way pudding feels like in our mouths. But sometimes Jimmy goes shopping with his mother. Sometimes he goes to visit his grandparents. When we can't be together, I feel lonely. I had a friend. Her name was Jamie. We like to look at books and tell stories about the pictures. We like to color with bright crayons. Sometimes our mother taped our drawings onto the refrigerator. One day a moving van came. The moving and put Jamie's books and crayons in the brown boxes. They took down her swimsuit. Jamie moved away to the city. I miss her. I have another friend. His name is David, and I like to play games together. We build roads in the sand. We make garages from blocks. We pretend that David is the mechanic and I'm a race car driver. Sometimes we fight. We get angry with each other. David takes a yellow dump truck and goes home. That made me feel sad inside. It's hard to say I'm sorry. But I have a very special friend. He never makes me feel lonely. He never moves away. He never goes home because he's with me. He's always with me even though I can't see him. He is with me when I lie down on my back in the tickle grass and look up at the clouds. He is with me when I toss leaves high in the air and jump in the falling colors. He is with me when I wash down hill in the crunchy snow. He is with me because he wants to be with me. If I do something wrong, he lets me say I'm sorry. He even likes me when I do not like myself. He likes all my friends. He likes you as much as he likes me. He loves you as much as he loves me. My special friend is Jesus. Do you know my special friend? Do you know Jesus?
Nicely done. We'll say a quick prayer and then go back with our parents. Lord, thank you that you are faithful to us, that you see us and know us and love us. Amen.
The scripture reading for today is Deuteronomy 6, 1 to 9. Now, this is the commandment, the statutes and the ordinances that the Lord your God charged me to teach you to observe in the land that you are about to cross into and occupy, so that you and your children and your children's children may fear the Lord your God all the days of your life and keep all his decrees and his commandments that I am commanding you, so that your days may be long. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe them diligently, so that it may go well with you, and so that you may multiply greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, has promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. Keep these words that I am commanding you today in your heart. Recite them to your children and talk about them when you are at home and when you are away, when you lie down and when you rise. Bind them as a sign on your hand, fix them as an emblem on your forehead, and write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates.
Good to be worshiping with all of you this morning. So, this week, in the midst of smoky air from fires and installing some recessed lighting and crawling around in our attic and organizing our new shop, my sinuses decided to fight back. So, if you hear a little bit of congestion, going to chalk it up to that. I want to say thanks to Luann and the group this morning, the kitchen team. They've been working, and there's a meal we're going to have in a little bit. Thanks to Vani and all of the folks doing Sunday school, put that together. Also to Stacy and all the children's volunteers, they've been planning as well. It'd be one thing to relaunch our Sunday activities following a normal summer break, but we're not just restarting Sunday school. We're restarting after a break of over a year and a half in the midst of a pandemic. So a big thank you to all of those folks and all of you. We've been wrestling with details, figuring out new ways to do things. And just to acknowledge publicly, we've had to make significant adjustments in our lives, individually and as a church community, as a broader culture in general. In some way or another, we're all experiencing significant changes and shifts. There's bound to be some fear, anxiety, and frustrations in the midst of all of this, as well as, well, all the feels put together. So, a general reminder, please deal with yourself and others with an extra dose of grace. Another update, not sure if you heard, if you haven't, Friday evening, Pastor Jana went in for emergency surgery due to a ruptured appendix. The surgery went as expected and went well, and Jana's recovering with a fairly stiff dose of antibiotic, and she'll be on that for a little bit. I spoke to her just before the service so that I could give an update, and she said at this point, they want to keep her around in the hospital for at least another day, but they're just going to monitor her and make sure that her body's fighting off the infection the way that it's supposed to. So please keep praying for her and Craig, and looking forward to having her back when she's ready. If there's something you need in the midst of it, something that you would normally go to Jana for, feel free to reach out to myself or Jody, and we'll do the best we can to help out. It's also great to have Tony and Brenda from Drift Creek here. Both Luke and Dylan, our sons, attended Drift Creek this summer. And Luke, our oldest, he said right when he got in the car, he said it was his favorite camp ever. I asked him why. He said, what makes Drift Creek different? And he said, it's because he could tell that all the staff were there because they wanted to be there. No matter what you were doing, you had a good time because of that. So, on behalf of a pastor, and probably more importantly, on behalf of a dad with two kids going through a lot of shifts and transitions and changes right now, thank you. Thanks for what you do. I'm glad we can partner together. Well, the Lord be with you. I've heard a lot of stories this last week recounting details of where people were and what they were doing 20 years ago when the planes hit the World Trade Center. Ann and I, we were just waking up in our first apartment in Encinitas. We'd been married less than a year. My aunt and uncle, however, they were living and pastoring a church in Somerset, Pennsylvania, where the plane intended for the Capitol building had crashed. The devastation that took place on September 11th, 2001, has had a significant impact on us and the nation we live in. If you needed convincing, this is solid proof that we tell and retell stories about significant events. Those stories shape us. Those stories form our identity. They form who we make, they form how we make sense of the world and how we relate to people around us. They form us because they tell us about our past, which in turn shapes how we understand ourselves in the present. And those two things, the past and the present, they set a vision for what we hope to be in the future. Good stories have all those time elements to them, past, present, and future. With all of my talk about how in worship we tell stories, I thought we'd take some time to do that this morning, for us to tell short stories, but stories still. So I'd like to hear some of your stories of God's faithfulness. We'll keep it simple, and I'd like to do it like this. I'm going to give you a phrase and ask some of you to fill in the blank. And the phrase, the statement is simply this. I recently saw the faithfulness of God when blank. That's the blank you fill in with a sentence, maybe two sentences. If you're joining us online, hello. You can write your sentence or two if you have one in the chat. And I've got somebody here, Stan, who will, if something pops up, he'll read that out on the microphone so that here we can all share and you can join us in sharing. So again, that statement is, I recently saw the faithfulness of God when, and then you fill in that blank. So, yeah, just go ahead and stand up and just fill that blank in for us, if you will. I recently saw the faithfulness of God when. Okay, beauty of creation and the kids and Sunday school teachers out under the trees. Yes. Okay, thanks. Ken, family, arriving faithfully from Malaysia. Someone else, I recently saw the faithfulness of God when. Okay, I got my tea. All right. That's faith and faithfulness all at the same time. Yeah. You've got one?
This one is from Jana, who has joined us online at Zoom in the hospital. And she said when the nurses and doctors could help her with the pain.
Anybody else? Faithfulness of God in a congregation that continues to gather together and sing praises.
I have another one online. This is from Paul Friesen. He says, I recently saw the faithfulness of God when I, apprehensive about starting college, discovered that a guy I'd met online would also be attending the same school. Thank you, Paul.
Cool. That's another... and children's story and the Drift Creek video. Okay, opportunity to share an old story with friends. Amen. Yeah, Lewis. Brenda's story, holding on to hope. Amen. Thanks for sharing. I hope we will continue to find ways to share stories of God's faithfulness. Part of the passage from Deuteronomy, sometimes you have to get a running start for that word. Part of the passage read this morning is known as the Shema. The Shema is part of the Jewish faith tradition, a faith tradition which serves as the foundation for Christianity. The Shema is the centerpiece of a twice daily prayer, and it's an identifying piece of the monotheism of both Judaism and Christianity. Israel, listen. Our God is the Lord, only the Lord, or the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. Sometimes the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. So there's a bit of ambiguity in how that second phrase could be translated. The Lord is one or the Lord alone. Some Old Testament scholars think that ambiguity is intentional, pointing to a both and reading, not an either or. The Lord alone is our God, and that same Lord is one. Believing in one God, it's an important distinction, and this is an important passage for the Israelites that it was intended for, and for those of us who follow that same God. To get some of that importance, let me put this into context a bit more. We jumped in at verse 6 of Deuteronomy, or chapter 6 of Deuteronomy, which means there's 5 chapters before this. Some important things happen in those first 5 chapters that shape how we understand and hear what's going on in chapter 6. Deuteronomy begins with Moses and the Israelites on one side of the Jordan River. They're preparing to cross, and on the other side, they're looking at the land God had promised them. It says the words that follow. These words in Deuteronomy are the words Moses spoke to Israel before they crossed the Jordan and took the land without Moses. They received the land from God that they were promised when they left Egypt. This is the story of God's faithfulness to the Israelites, Moses, and really to the covenant with Abraham and Sarah. The Israelites are at a significant point in their history. Their years of wandering are about to come to an end. They're going to be part of something new in a very prosperous land, and they will become a very prosperous people. So, before taking that step into the future, before crossing the Jordan, Moses takes the opportunity to remind the Israelites of all that's happened up until now. Moses reminds them of what's happened in the past. Catch that? We've got past events, present reality in light of past events, and future hope. Moses reminds them of their covenant with God, of how they chose leaders for each of the 12 tribes because it was too much for Moses to do all by himself. Moses reminds them of how 40 years prior, God had told them to take possession of the land, and they were too afraid because of the people that lived there. Probably more accurate is that they did not trust God to follow through. So they wandered around for another 40 years. Moses then reminds them of the Ten Commandments, how they were once slaves, oppressed by the Egyptians, and how God heard their cries and intervened for them. How, since God is on the side of the oppressed and marginalized, they should be too, since they are God's people. All these first five chapters that lead up to this in Deuteronomy, they're a bit of a warning from Moses. And while Moses doesn't get credit for saying it, I think perhaps Moses here is certainly thinking, those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it. So Moses is reminding them, the Israelites, the people he's been leading, he's reminding them of their past and giving them a vision for the future. Moses realizes the Israelites are about to take hold of the land that will bring prosperity and all kinds of possibilities, including the possibility of using their wealth and power to oppress others. So Moses reminds them that God has some specific instructions for treating others. In the book of Deuteronomy, significant things are happening, and Moses is reminding the Israelites who they are by telling them stories about their past, so that they more fully understand who they are in the present moment and can cast a vision for who they are called to be in the future. Moses is shaping their identity as a people, and he emphatically tells them to regularly find ways to retell the stories of God's faithfulness to future generations. The significance of this the Israelites increases when we look at the broader context of this book. So, some Old Testament scholars believe the book of Deuteronomy was redacted much later than originally thought. Okay, big word, redacted. It's just a fancy word that means edited and compiled. So, it has a bit more nuance to it, but some scholars date the redaction of Deuteronomy to the period of time when the Israelites were in exile. That's hundreds of years, close to maybe even 1,000 years after the events described in the book of Deuteronomy took place. So, what do we do with that information? Does it mean that these were just a bunch of stories written down by a bunch of people much later and without firsthand knowledge? No, not necessarily. Most biblical scholars believe the written down accounts of Deuteronomy already existed. Those accounts were recirculated by the Israelites during their exile, which resulted in the Deuteronomy we currently have. So, why would Israelites do that? Why would a massive group of people, having been recently conquered by another nation and taken into exile, circulate 1,000-year-old writings? To answer that, we can take a look at the book of Daniel. This is Daniel 1, 2 to 5. The Lord handed Judah's king, Jehoiakim, over to Nebuchadnezzar, along with some of the equipment from God's house. Nebuchadnezzar took these to Shinar, to his own God's temple, putting them in his God's treasury. Nebuchadnezzar instructed his highest official, Aspenaz, to choose royal descendants and members of the ruling class from the Israelites, good-looking young men without defects, skilled in all wisdom, possessing knowledge conversant with learning, and capable of serving in the king's palace. Ashpenaz was to teach them the Chaldean language and its literature. The king assisted these young men daily, or sorry, the king assigned these young men daily allotments from his own food, from the royal wine. Ashpenaz was to teach them for 3 years so that at the end of that time, they could serve before the king. Okay, so what's this king doing? King Nebuchadnezzar is integrating the captured and exiled Israelites into Babylonian culture. Just because it's a long name, I'm going to call him King Nebi. He tells his highest official to go find some of the popular folks, the young leaders. He says, go find the influencers. Be nice to them. Let them experience all the extravagance that Babylon has to offer. That way, they'll assimilate into Babylonian culture and lead other Israelites to do the same thing. That's what's happening in these famous stories and the stories of Daniel in the lion's den and the fiery furnace with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The Israelites are being encouraged, well, sometimes forced, to assimilate to Babylonian culture, Babylonian religion, and Babylonian customs. In exile, the Israelites were in danger of losing their identity as Israelites. So they circulate writings that told their story, Deuteronomy, their past, their present, and their future. They circulate stories of God's faithfulness. When they knew their history, they could be reminded that even in the present time of defeat and exile, their God is faithful and there's hope for the future. For the exiled Israelites, nothing was more important to sustaining their identity than retelling the significant stories that shaped who they are. It's right there in Deuteronomy 6:7. Recite them to your children. Talk about them when you're sitting around your house, when you're out and about, when you're lying down, and when you're getting up. Circulating Deuteronomy in exile was about the people of Israel remembering who they are and remembering whose they are. As a culture, our storytelling is ceaseless. It's online, through social media, music, advertising. It's in books, billboards, clothes. Developing a corporate brand is all about what story your image portrays. So we are being told stories. Our younger generations are being told stories. These stories don't just come from outside. We're telling stories ourselves by our words and our actions. But how many of those are about the faithfulness of God that we serve? It's important for us to consciously, at least as consciously as possible, be aware of the stories we are both being told and telling. Right now, the story I'm hearing most is that you can't trust your neighbor. Whether it's the news or social media or the radio or political agenda or advertising, it's always breaking down trust of other people. It's regrettable, and that story, it's having an impact on us as a culture by creating and exacerbating significant division. Well, these might not be the most divided days in the history of our nation. They are certainly in the top five and the most divided in my lifetime so far. That division has been created by the stories that are being told. Stories that have a past, a present, and a future. Last week, we celebrated communion together, and part of that celebration happened when we read something that went. And so we proclaim the mystery of our faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Those three short and carefully worded phrases carry so much significance. There's a past, a present, and a future storytelling all right there. Christ has died. It's a past event. Christ is risen, a present reality. Right here and right now, Christ is risen, and everything is different because of that. Christ will come again. Our vision for the future, for God's faithfulness, because that's the thing that we trust. So we tell the stories of God's faithfulness in the past. Deuteronomy, these words that sustained the identity of the Israelites in the midst of exile, and we surround ourselves with things that remind us of God's faithfulness. We find ways to tell stories to our younger generations. We tell about our past so we know who we are in the present and what hope we have in the future. There will always be other stories that compete for the primary place that only God's story can hold. That's what this passage from Deuteronomy is saying. Tie them on your hand as a sign. They should be on your forehead as a symbol. Write them on your house's door frames and on your city gates. Each day, by our actions and our words, we're telling a story, and we tell that story, and as we tell that story, future generations are learning that story. That's why the Israelites, when they were in exile, pulled out these old stories of Deuteronomy and retold the accounts of God's faithfulness and of who the people of God were called to be. That's why we engage in children's ministry and VBS and children's stories up here. And that's why we have places like Drift Creek that tell God's story through their words and actions. It might not look exactly like it did when you were young. In fact, I shouldn't even use the word might. Telling God's story to younger generations will most certainly take on a different form than it did when you were young. But while the methods change the story, Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again, that story remains the same. We are people that tell of God's faithfulness to younger generations. Eleanor Creeder, professor of worship and mission at Anabaptist Mennonite Biblical Seminary, wrote in an article for Vision Journal, she reminds us, telling the old stories of God with Israel reminded the people what God was like. And that shaped a way to live. Does this work for us today, she asks? Through rehearsing the stories of God's people, do we remember who we are and to whom we are connected? The answer is yes. We form our individual and corporate character on the character of the God whom we adore. So, in the midst of a world telling us so many different stories, let's be a congregation that actively seeks to tell the stories of God's faithfulness to each other and to our younger generations. That's the way we'll know who we are and to whom we are connected. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to hear and tell some stories of your faithfulness. As we continue to be a congregation seeking you, may we continue to tell your story more faithfully each and every day. Amen.
Turn to page 435 in the Voices Together. 435. Please stand.
Bless blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior, all the King of God. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior, all the day long. Perfect communion, perfect delight, visions of rapture, the first on my side. Angels descending, bring from above, echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior, all the dear God. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Last verse before we do the chorus, I'd like to change the words. This is our story.
Perfect commission, all is at rest. I and my Savior, happy and well, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is our story, this is our song, praising the Savior, all the King long. This is our story, this is our song, praising our Savior, all the day long.
As we worship, continue to worship through prayer, I want to invite you just to mention a name or situation if there is a need out loud. So I'll start off our prayer together, and then as a need becomes known or is expressed, just from where you are, you can say that out loud and stand. If folks online want something said as well, they can write in on the chat. So Lord, thank you for your presence this morning once again. May we continue to tell your story. And as we continue to tell your story of faithfulness, may that be in specific situations in our lives, in our world. But hear these needs that come from us as a congregation, as individuals, for those that we love and for our world that is in need. Feel free to express those needs. For Jana's continued recovery.
Prayers for the family of Kevin and Cynthia's neighbor who died this past week of COVID, and prayers for her next door neighbor who depended on her support.
for Brenda and Tony and the work they do at Drift Creek. Let's conclude this time as a group by just simply saying, Lord, hear our prayer together. So, Lord, hear our prayer.
Page 486. 486, oh, in the new book, Voices Together. I was so delighted to find that this old grace reappeared in the new hymnal. It's an old song that I've always loved. Why don't we stand and sing it? Please stand.
Great God, the giver.
So before I give the benediction, there are a few quick announcements about the chicken barbecue meal for Drift Creek, and everything I'm about to say was in your bulletin. But the meals are individually packaged on the east side of the church. This is also good cardinal directions. And then you're welcome to eat the meal as a picnic on the west side of the church, or you can take your meal to go. And all your donations will go to Drift Creek, and you can donate cash or write a check. And if you write a check, make sure you write out DCC in the memo line of and put Zion, make the check out to Zion. And also the My Coins count. If you have coins, you can put them in the bucket out by the chicken dinner. Go in peace.